What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in an old friend of mine, Corey Massasek, Colorado Avalanche reporter for the Denver Post, as he helps us react to the news today that the Predators have hired ex-Avalanche GM Chris McFarland as their GM, as well as the president of hockey operations. Corey, how are you?
I'm a little under the weather, but otherwise I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
We're good. We appreciate you doing this despite being under the weather. So let's start with how this news landed in Denver. What was the reaction to Chris McFarland leaving the Avalanche after 11 years and joining the Predators?
Yeah, I think it's been pretty shocking. There's been some chatter out there about it maybe being a possibility. I think definitely that it happened kind of as quickly as it did. I think it, kind of maybe come together in the last few days, is definitely, surprising. Honestly, the main focus here since they lost to Vegas has been on Jared Bednar, like whether or not they were going to bring him back as head coach. And it was also like, oh, yeah, by the way, Chris McFarland might be talking to the Nashville Predators, too. And then all of a sudden that has now happened. And, it does look like they are going to keep Bednar for another year for sure. But like, yeah, it's pretty stunning. I mean, it's, he is getting a promotion. It's just interesting to contrast this all happening right now, like when the most recent thing like this to have happened was Vegas blocking Bruce Cassidy from being able to talk to rivals. And I think there are some Avs fans who definitely wanted the Avs to be like, no, just don't let them talk to them. But like, this is different. This is in like the history of the NHL, almost always a guy in that position is allowed to talk to another team if he's going to get a raise and a promotion.
So Corey, one question a lot of our listeners have about Chris McFarland and what he was able to do in Colorado. Can you explain the dynamic between McFarland and Avalanche president of hockey operations, Joe Sakic? People around here want to know, all right, how much responsibility did Chris McFarland have for how successful the Colorado Avalanche have been, who called the shots, et cetera. So as someone who's there every day, can you explain the dynamic between Sakic and McFarland?
Yeah, Joe Sakic gets all the credit and Chris McFarland gets all of the crap. Joe Sakic is a legend here, obviously one of the best players of all time. An absolute, literally legend in this community. And he was the GM in the run-up to them winning the Stanley Cup in 2022. And McFarland was named the GM right after that, in part because a bunch of other teams, at least more than one, I think, wanted to hire him as their GM. And so they kind of, they bumped Sakic up to president and they made him the GM. And look, like Joe Sakic is still involved. I don't think he is nearly as involved on a day-to-day basis as some Avs fans want to believe he's going to be now, because he's the interim GM for at least another month or so, or until they, go through their process. But yeah, no, look, I think Chris McFarland was, Joe Sakic's right-hand man for several years building that 2022 championship team. And again, here fans see no titles since then. Like this team is the dynasty that wasn't right now and maybe always will be. But to me, the general manager has built two or three really, really, really good teams. I mean, they had the best roster in the league this year. They ran the league for 7 months and had a bad week. And I don't know how much of that you can really put on the general manager. You know, like, he's nominated for GM of the year, and I think he probably deserves to win. So I would say he has, you know, a lot of response. I mean, you know, I think he's, you know, I think if Joe Sakic's name was Joe Smith, everybody would just assume he's the GM, and or that Chris is the GM and he runs everything day to day, and that's just the way it is. But because it's Joe Sakic, it's a little bit different here. But I do think that, I don't think that Chris McFarlane is, like, you know, basically the assistant GM here. I think he's been the GM. He's had the final say over, you know, all the minor moves, most of the major moves, et cetera, in his time.
Corey Massasak of the Denver Post is with us on D-Mace, Vinken, and Donick. Corey, before I hand it off to my partner, Willie Donick, we've seen the bold and savvy moves that Chris McFarland has made in recent years to try to get the Avalanche another crack at the Stanley Cup, whether it's trading Mikko Rantanen and then bringing in Martin Natchez, trading for Brock Nelson, trading for Nazem Kadri, what he did to completely overhaul the goaltending, bringing in Scott Wedgwood and Mackenzie Blackwood. There's been a lot to like about what McFarland has done. What are some of the criticisms you would have of how McFarland did his job as Avalanche GM? Because as you said, the Avalanche have been the best regular season team over the past 4 years. But as someone who's there every day, are there any weaknesses in McFarland's game, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, look, they basically from the start of all this was, you know, trading Juuso Saarinen for Scott Wedgwood. And since that day, they have basically overhauled, you know, the entire team around the core. It's, you know, whatever it is, 13, 14 new guys in the last couple of years. I would say, like they did, you know, they did everything that they almost everything that they could to build a juggernaut this year. The one thing that's, like, kind of left hanging now is they traded for Nick Blankenberg as, like, kind of like the extra defenseman, because they had six and they didn't really trust anybody beyond that six. Nick Blankenberg was kind of a mixed bag for them. And I think Chris McFarland even said on the record that he was trying to trade for one more defenseman and didn't get that done. Now, look, if you're, you know, for 30 organizations, if, hey, he didn't get a good enough number seven defenseman is the biggest criticism you have about the roster, you know, you're living pretty good. But if you want to be the team that wins the Stanley Cup, you know, it did. Look, they had, whether it was Josh Manson or Sam Walinski or Cale Makar, they had defense injuries kind of almost throughout the playoffs, and it did eventually probably hurt them. I would say, you know, criticism, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on where he's going and where Nashville is going, right? Like, I think he has shown that, like, look, give him a solid base to build from and tell him to be aggressive, and he's going to go do it. And I think he's performed very admirably in that role. You know, we've never seen him, like, do a rebuild or anything approaching to it, or even, you know, trying to take a team that wasn't in the playoffs and make them a cup contender. So that's a little bit of an unknown. But, I mean, I think generally speaking, he has, I don't know, I mean, obviously the Mikko Rantanen thing was very bold, and at times it has looked like a great move for them. And there have been a couple of times, specifically Game 7 last year, where it didn't. But I think a lot of his, I mean, yeah, I mean, just if you went through line by line, like, here's the 20 trades that Chris McFarlane made as GM of the Avs, they won more than their fair share, for sure.
He has been covering the Colorado Avalanche and Chris McFarland, and we're getting some insights on what makes him tick. So, Corey, do you think he's come under fire some, or has there been much criticism that they traded so many of the future assets? If you take a look, they clearly have traded a lot of first round picks and other draft picks, well, a lot of them to Nashville, ironically. But do you think that is okay? Is that what the fans wanted because they're in a window, or do you think they might have gone too far in that area?
I think that if there was a second Stanley Cup trophy, or I guess a fourth in franchise history, going into that trophy case at any point in the last 3 years, he would, you know, he everything would be great. It would be, you know, I don't think any, very few Avalanche fans have said, oh no, we are trading that 2028 second round pick. What are we going to do? You know, like it's been cup or bust, and they've been as aggressive as anybody. I think they have actually done a pretty good job also. Like, I look at like the trade, like they went all in last year and it didn't work out. Well, then they were going to be, you know, how are they going to make the team from last year better for this year? Well, like, I think, well, like kind of like one of the more underrated trades he's made was sending Charlie Coyle and Miles Wood to Columbus for Gavin Brindley and a pick. Like, they've kind of started to do the thing that Vegas has done over the years, where they buy in February and March and then do a little bit of like offloading and selling in the summer to kind of get back under the cap and to make things more flexible. And I think by doing that trade, like, first off, Gavin Brindley is a pretty good young player. And second off, that allowed them the cap flexibility to sign Brent Burns, to trade for Nazem Kadri, to trade for Nick Waugh. Like, all that stuff kind of happened because they offloaded whatever that would have been, like $9 million in salary cap space. So yeah, I don't think he's gotten a lot of criticism for that here now, but it was coming if they don't win. I think, like, you know, if they don't win next year, 2028 and beyond, this team was going to need a refresh. And maybe he saw that coming and said, well, this is an opportunity to give myself a reset and start over. And that's part of the reason why he's there.
That's leading me into the next question, Corey, because I think a lot of people in Nashville are saying, why would you leave Colorado when you've got this loaded team and you're in a window to win, to go to Nashville that's got a lot of tough decisions ahead? They're in the middle. Do you want to take a step back, or do you want to try to go all in and be bold? So what do you think the answer is? You've thrown in a lot of things. Like, he gets none of the credit but all of the blame because Sakic is such a legend. I look at that. And also what you said is, in the coming years, you know, there will be some difficult things that Colorado will have to tackle, so to speak, and he would be an easy scapegoat along those lines. So where does the answer lie in your mind?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've thought about that a lot the last couple of days. Like, it would surprise me if he took this job and ownership told him, hey, you have to keep all of these veteran players and you have to build a contender out of what we have right now. Like, it would be weirder to me that he left his current situation for Nashville if it wasn't like they're going to give him control. Obviously they're going to give him, you know, everything. And but they would also tell him to like keep all the players or whatever. Like, I would imagine that a rebuild is coming of some sort. And I think he probably looked at that and saw, well, hey, like, it wouldn't be like starting from zero because they already do have a few interesting prospects and they do have a lot of interesting pieces that you could trade. So yeah, no, I think that's, to me, it would make a lot more sense for him. I mean, maybe he's just doing it because he wanted to do it. But like, if this was, you know, this was a chance for him to really kind of get out on his own, put his stamp on a franchise and really build something kind of from the ground up. Whereas, like, because even here, even if he stayed here for another, you know, 2, 3, 5 years and they did win one more championship, I don't know if he was going to be remembered 20 or 30 years from now as like, hey, the architect of their fourth title or whatever, that sort of thing.
What is his relationship or strategy with the media? Does he do a lot of media?
No. I shouldn't say that. He's actually pretty good at it, but he does not do a lot of media. I would imagine he will be less in the media spotlight than, say, like Barry Trotz was. I mean, Barry was always like one of the more media friendly people as a coach and all that. But yeah, he probably will probably, I mean, at least here in Colorado, he would talk, you know, maybe 3-4 times a year.
Interesting. My last question is, Corey, how did you view the interaction between he and Joe Sakic? Because I think maybe part of his motivation to come to Nashville is he will be the guy who the buck stops with him. He is leading everybody else, where from afar, certainly with Joe Sakic's stature in Denver, right? And we use John Elway too for football fans, you know, that great player who leads a franchise and then moves into the front office. You got a lot of cachet there. How would you define what Chris McFarland did day to day and how much responsibility Joe Sakic had in these last few years?
Yeah, I think I think, honestly, I think the arrangement kind of worked well for both of them. Like, I think Joe was kind of done with the grind. He wanted to take a step back. You know, he wanted to live his life. I mean, obviously he's made more than enough money. He doesn't need that. But like, yeah, I just think that like Chris was an up and coming guy who got his first shot at being a GM, but he also had, like, it kind of worked both ways. Like, he had Joe there to, like, a perfect example of this. Whenever they lost to game seven in Dallas last year, you know, before this Vegas thing, I thought, like, oh my God, this is like one of the craziest, most shocking losses in NHL history, because of how it turned out. Joe came to the end of season media availability. It was Joe and Chris. Joe wasn't at the one the year before, which was my first year, but he was there last year. And I thought, and it did seem like it was like to take some of the heat off of Chris, because Chris had just traded Mikko Rantanen, and Mikko Rantanen had just, you know, ended their season basically. So I do think that Chris ran the team. Like, I think he ran every day to day thing. Like, he was deciding on, you know, minor league call-ups and all in draft picks and trades. And I think Joe, and I don't want to undersell that Joe, I don't want to say like Joe had no say in the team, but I think he was more like, hey, we need you to, you know, we're struggling with this Mikko Rantanen in negotiation and we might have to trade him. Now Joe's going to get a little more involved. Like that, those like level things, more so than like, hey, we're going to trade Eustace Annunen for Scott Wedgwood. You know, does Joe have to sign off on that? I think Chris probably just did that one on his own.
Corey Massasak of the Denver Post has been our guest on D-Mace, Vin Gnidonic, giving us perspective on Chris McFarland, the Predators' new president of hockey operations and GM. Corey, we appreciate you doing this, especially being under the weather. Feel better. We'll catch up soon.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
615-737-1025. I'll tell you one thing I didn't like. I don't like this idea of Chris McFarland not talking to us every week, like Barry Trotz did.
I was just thinking that, too. I'm like, oop.
I mean, Chris McFarland, he's got an open invitation to join our program every week, just like Barry Trotz did, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. We'll see. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your reaction to the hiring of McFarland, and we'll wrap up the show. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Hey, this is Derek Mason. You heard me tell you about Dr. Lodge and his staff over at Cool Springs MD for some time. If you set out to lose weight, chances are it's not your first time setting some type of goal to shed some extra pounds only to face disappointment. But I got some good news, because at Cool Springs MD, Dr. Lodge and his team understand the frustration of this cycle, and that is why they offer a different approach to weight loss. Their comprehensive weight loss program is led by Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and addresses the root cause of weight gain with tailored nutrition, exercise, blood test supplements, and more. They will customize a program specific to you and you only. So connect with Dr. Lodge at CoolSpringsMD.com today to schedule your appointment for a personalized weight loss plan just for you. That's Cool Springs MD, where your weight loss journey becomes a success.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.